Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome back to our second hour, Circles of Change, and it's always a pleasure for me to call Boston, specifically the colleagues I've gotten to know at Babson College. Welcome to the line, Patty Green. How are you today, Patty?
I'm doing quite well, Zara. How about you?
I just couldn't be better. The subject is so appropriate, growing your business. We finally started to get the story right. So let me give a brief introduction so our listeners understand. Patty, she's President's Distinguished Professor of Entrepreneurship at Babson College, where she was formerly served as Provost and Dean of the Undergraduate School. Babson College, for those of you who don't know, is one of the foremost business schools recognized globally for its focus on entrepreneurship in both commercial and doing social good sectors. Patty's current assignment at Babson includes being National Academic Director for the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Initiative, as well as advisors to 10,000 women and their special United Kingdom programs. Prior to joining Babson, Patty held entrepreneurship-centered academic chairs at the University of Missouri, as well as Rutgers, where she founded several novel learning centers, reshaped curriculum to include real-life business plan competitions, opened up student internship programs, and developed cross-institute research collaboration networks. Having earned her PhD from the University of Texas in Austin and backed with career experiences in healthcare, Patty's research focuses on identification, acquisition, and combination of entrepreneurial resources, aka money, and particularly to help women and minority entrepreneurs. She's a frequent speaker on national and international events, author of several books for both academics and business professionals alike, and Patty continues to be tapped for a variety of boards and committees within the Small Business Administration Association, the National Science Foundation, and many startup companies. So in other words, when you say the word entrepreneurship and advancement in education, Patty Green's name pops up. So thanks so much for giving some time for us today.
Now it's a pleasure.
Well, great. Well, level us up. That word small business, what does that world look like today here in the United States, Patty?
That's most of us.
Yes, indeed.
Only 1%, less than 1% of all the businesses in the United States are what we consider big business. We really are a small and medium-sized business economy. We just don't act that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, we want to model everything after the big businesses, right? We think that's the way to have to go.
Well, it's true. I mean, even if you think about how we're educated,
yeah.
We're educated based on how, and it's true, how men have run large businesses for decades and decades. Starting to change a lot of that. Just think a little bit more broadly. But it's really the way our education is based right now.
Well, and even the moves in the media, how much coverage is on the classic Fortune 500 or the Standard & Poor's this and that. And I recall, because my career, I was fortunate to start in very large companies, but I started reading Inc. magazine, Entrepreneur magazine, some other ones, and I remember the flood of new ideas that I said to myself, I got to be looking a different place.
Yeah, that is such an important point, Zara. You know, I do some work, too, for the Guardian Life Small Business Research Institute, and one of the things they like to talk about is looking for ideas in different places and reading unusual things and, you know, just connecting some different dots for a change and see what happens.
Yep. Well, although I have to admit, when I was reading Rolling Stones at a General Motors meeting, I was kind of looked upon funny.
So you'd have been my hero then.
I think you're probably, well, I try my best, exactly. You know, one of the things about small businesses, of course, and whether it be this day and age or any other time, is there's this quote of how many small businesses fail. Mm. And thus, it seems to be this roadblock or signpost, and, oh, you might not want to do that. But what's with those statistics?
You know, if I were going to have a soapbox, and I think soapbox is now about an antiquated term like Rolodex.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, one of my missions is to get these numbers right. And first off, we don't know failure rates because we don't collect failure rates. Now, what the government does is they'll count what businesses are there, and then 5 years later, they'll come back and see if those businesses
are still there. Yeah.
So we've got a continuance rate. But, you know, businesses cannot be there for negative reasons and for positive reasons. They could have been sold. They could have been closed, not owing anybody anything. They could have incorporated, all these different things. But in reality, half of them you know, are still there at least 5 years. A quarter are still there about 15 years out. It's really a very different sense of what they are.
That's a very good point. And because actually, for many entrepreneurs, they start their businesses with the intent of selling them so they can get on to the next big exploration journey. And that doesn't get tracked in the statistics.
No, not at all. Although that's kind of a subset.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's part of getting the story right, too, is understanding why people really start and what they do. You know, that goes back to the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program. We're working with hundreds of business owners across the country now. And really, it's about them growing because they like the independence. They like working for themselves. Some want to sell. Mm-hmm. Some interested in turning it over to children. Some just want to do it until they figure out what they're going to do next, as you said. But for many people, it's creating their entrepreneurial life. It's not just, how am I going to make money?
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit now, since we started there, about this Goldman Sachs initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our listeners would be really fascinated and to know the resources that could be available out there.
No, well, it is a fascinating program. I think it's one of the favorite programs I've ever worked on because it brings together both a specifically designed educational program with business advising, with opportunities to access different pools of capital.
Great.
So if you wrap those all together, we partner with select community colleges across the country. We've just launched seventh program. In Chicago, we announced that about 2 weeks ago. And it's just a stunning opportunity to work with people who've been in their business for at least 2 years, have at least 4 employees, and at least between $150,000 and $4 million in revenue. So this is not startup or turnaround. This is a growth program. It's just exciting to see what they can accomplish if they dig down, are given technical assistance resources, are given some one-on-one attention, and learn about the whole access to capital realm. It's just a marvelous thing to behold.
Well, and I tell you, that certainly would get our listeners because, oh, by the way, this isn't just classwork and programs, but it's access to money and the resources. And again, of course, in your credentials that I was so pleased and proud to announce on your behalf, that you've spent time in some very large and major institutions that are guiding academic wherewithal and consortiums and so on. But the fact that this one is at the community college level,
mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, Patty, because that's a different set of individuals, typically a different focused mission.
Well, I think the mission of all education is starting to change a little bit. And community colleges are at the forefront of recognizing early community challenges and putting programs into place to meet them. So I think it's a fantastic partnership. You know, so many of our schools are more tied into degree delivery, and while that's certainly a key component of what the community colleges do, it's they've got a broader reach.
Good point.
I think they can be a little more flexible about the types of programs that they offer, and they're connected to the communities sometimes in different ways. Now, some of the 4-year programs have that around the country, but not to the same extent, I'd say.
That have that. And, of course, your background in having worked with, Chamber of Commerce outreaching type programs at the same time is an important connection. So you mentioned earlier the Guardian Life Small Business Research effort.
Mm-hmm.
That's all about really trying to identify what small business owners need, correct?
Well, what they think is important.
What they think is important.
And one of the reasons I like being attached to that research, I'm special academic advisor, is that they do recognize that there are many different kinds of entrepreneurs and many ways to be entrepreneurial. It's not always about growth. It is about living entrepreneurial lives. And they just have a unique way of diving into that information and sharing what they've found.
So, for example, I've coined this word solopreneur because mm-hmm. I've had several people approach me to say, well, Zara, when are you going to start involving or hiring additional consultants and coaches to be part of your effort? And I said, at this point, I'm into the no overhead mode. And for these first 4 years, we're going to expand our reach and anchor the business. I partner an awful lot, or I sub things out. But the idea of attracting, the legitimate overhead, I'm not right ready for that. But yet I feel every bit the entrepreneur who otherwise is looking at buildings and capital, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I think there's two pieces in what you just said, Zara, that are really important. And if we go back to where we started as far as what does a small business economy really look like, mm-hmm. there's, you know, somewhere between 27.5 and 28 million businesses in the United States. Only 6 million of them have employees. You know, that's our economy. All the rest of them are, as you're calling, solo entrepreneurs or individual proprietors, sole proprietors, people creating their work life. For a number of different reasons, some because of lack of other opportunities, some have plenty of opportunities, but this is the way they want to create their world of work.
With a quick question to jump right in, if you don't mind, on this one, and that is, with so many of the baby boom generation between now 55 and 65 yet nowhere near ready to retire, we don't even know how to spell the word right. So I would think that the initiatives that are under your stewardship now are all the more important for those who want to turn now to an encore situation, even if the encore is to give back and help and guide those more junior to them, but also maybe start something new.
Couldn't agree more, you know, and that's really almost takes us to what we, the definition of entrepreneurship, you know, versus small business or anything else. For me, this is about a method of living a life. Mm-hmm. If you think of entrepreneurship not as a startup of a business and certainly not limited to the startup of a small business, but what I do is focus it on being entrepreneurial is having the ability to identify opportunities, organize resources, and provide the leadership to create something of value. And as the entrepreneur, we get to decide what that value is, whether it's something for our school or, as you said, something for the community, a later stage business. It really doesn't matter what the organizational structure is. You know, that's part of whatever you're building. That's how you decide that. But it's the methods you take to put it all together, including the very front end saying, this is an opportunity I'd really like to pursue.
Well, and just even your use of that word that I think so many of our listeners that are in the throes of saying, what do I want to do with the rest of my life, is if you can step back and go after something that you're passionate about and create the opportunity around it.
That takes you right into the Babson approach.
Right.
You know, it's funny. A lot of business education gets really tied down into the business plan. And I do actually very much believe in business planning, but it's got to be tempered with actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some people say, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? And they get frozen into what's that next step. And, you know, I think I do that sometimes. When in reality, it's do something. You know, take a step, try something, test something. If that doesn't work, you know, try something else and learn while you're doing it.
Which, of course, is the tagline for this show, that mm-hmm. your path is created by walking on it. Not that I, like you, say, well, you should have a plan or what's your ideal customer and, you know, maybe exactly how much you want to invest. But some of this, if you just take the step forward, and if you're not so determined to go in a straight line, that actually the voyaging around is probably going to get you to the magic it.
When I did read more about your show, I thought this was a perfect fit for your show, frankly. Because it is about creating your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and part of that life is your world of work. But part of it is just connected to that.
Yeah. Well,
but it's hard to separate the two.
It's
it really
very,
is.
It is. Yeah, it is
some
very
people
hard.
Don't want to separate the two, and that's okay, too.
Right. Now, Kathy, Patty, back to Babson, just to give our audience who aren't familiar with your programs, I'll just, that classic question, can you teach entrepreneurship?
Yeah, you know, and I think that's such an old, I mean, I know you have to ask me that.
I know, that's an old question, though, right?
It is. It's kind of not interesting anymore. If you break it down into skills, mm-hmm. of course you can. Can I teach somebody to look for opportunities? Sure. Do I know how well they're going to do it? No, they have to practice. It's like anything else. It's a method. You know, can I teach somebody to organize resources? Absolutely. Can I teach them to be leaders? They'll be all different kinds of leaders. Some will be better than others, but at least they'll understand it and think about how they do it and can practice it. So, you know, I think the ones, the people that say you can't teach it, they always remind me of like Tarzan. You know, they're kind of beating their chest saying, I'm an entrepreneur, da-da-da-da-da-da, which is wonderful because we need all kinds of people being entrepreneurs. But I think you also, so many different kinds.
There is, but I think you also have on the other side that people might say that they're forewarning folks that if you're not, you know, you say the word entrepreneur and everybody has this classic view of someone that's wild, out on the edge, very, very risk tolerant, not afraid of failure, always about that right away can be a stereotype that discounts, as you would say, the other varieties of entrepreneurs.
And that is exactly why I said we're starting to get the story right, mm-hmm. because I completely agree with you, but I'm starting to see cracks that people are recognizing that that's not the real picture. Mm-hmm. My friend Heidi Neck, another professor at Babson, is doing an amazing, amazing project on getting stories of all kinds of entrepreneurs. And if you go to the Babson website, you can find her her project. But it's really capturing lots of different kinds of people doing lots of different kinds of things at lots of different stages in their lives. And I think if we take some of that allure almost off it and capture the day-to-day of it, we'll get a lot more out of it.
Well, one of the things that I know Babson has been doing this for a long time, but you certainly have elevated it to a more signature status in the last couple years, is the whole area of social innovation and social entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly wasn't something 10 years ago people thought about, that you're going to create products and services for really the greater good. Not that they're going to be not, you know, profitable in some way, but it's a whole different slice of impact.
Yeah, you know, there are always a subset of people that thought of that, but I love the fact of how public and visible it is. And frankly, we wove that into the 10,000 Small Businesses okay. program, so that when we introduce the concept of entrepreneurship and try to get the people in the room to kind of flip the switch in their mind from small business owner to growth-oriented entrepreneur and think about what they do differently, we remind them that they're in charge of deciding what kind of value they want to create. And it's great if it's value for them as an individual, but if they can also create value for their family, their community, their economy, society, then they're really accomplishing something. So we try to get them right up front to think about, what does creation of value mean to them? What is it they really want to contribute to the world?
Well, and that takes it up to a whole new level. And particularly, I think that those that have had successful careers or done other things before they get to this phase,
mm-hmm.
it's the idea of there's got to be something more for me than just the money.
Mm-hmm. It's true. You know, and for the people that are working for the money, that's fine too. Everybody finds their passion in life at a different place. And we all need, it's easy for me to say that, we all need a certain level of money to survive with our families. But some people find passion, they're going to work for their salary, they'll go home and engage in their passion. You know, my cousin recently said to me that she thought I was so fortunate because my work is my passion. You know, I'm extremely fortunate in how this has all come together at this point in my life. You know, but everybody just needs their passion in their lives from somewhere. Entrepreneurship, I think, is an approach to look at across all stages of their life,
yeah,
and think about what can it be for me.
Very good. Because of time, I didn't elaborate further on my introduction of you, which could have been what it could have really consumed
that was
a lot
plenty
of.
Long enough.
But one thing I didn't mention that I do want to insert here is, of course, is your real groundbreaking group with your colleagues on the Diana Project, which mm-hmm. focused specifically on women and their entrepreneurial suite, their needs, particularly access to venture capital and the like. So my question is now, with your activity here with the Gardening and Life Small Business, with the Goldman Sachs project and otherwise, are you finding different things bubbling up related to women business owners?
I am. You know, and one of the most exciting things, and this is kind of a teaser for the audience, is that late in fall, we're going to be releasing the first ever longitudinal global study of women. So it's a joint project between GEM, the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, of which Babson is a lead sponsor, but also for one of my other passions is the Center for Women's Business Research.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is our first big global research, and what we're finding in there about women around the world in different kinds of economies and how they approach entrepreneurship and what they're accomplishing and what they struggle is just, again, we have so much to learn and so much more to accomplish. It's really looking, too, at programs like Goldman Sachs 10,000 Women and from the educational point, what they're accomplishing around the world. You know, it used to be entrepreneurship, as you alluded to earlier, was kind of a, no, not a dirty word, but it was, in Australia, they used to, I think, call them scallywags and bounders.
Yeah, real mavericks. And that,
yes,
that, and
exactly.
they didn't necessarily say that with affection.
No. And now, frankly, entrepreneurship is being looked at as save people, profit, and planet. You know, this is going to be the answer to absolutely everything. Now, I'm biased enough to think that that's probably pretty much true. Entrepreneurial behaviors, entrepreneurial activities, entrepreneurial approaches will answer all those things. I think for large and small problems.
Yeah, well said. So back to the Center for Business Research. You gave us a tease, but are there any early findings you might want to share with us at this point?
That I really can't do, but I will tell you that the center has three other things coming out in the fall. Our new key fact cards will be out. Our latest confidence survey, sponsored by KeyBank, will be out. We're eternally grateful to KeyBank for their sponsorship. And also, watch for early December for a relaunch of a project we were doing a number of years ago and want to bring back to life as far as studying women of color entrepreneurs.
Okay, interesting. Well, and also the type of work you've done over the years and where you're sitting right now, generational differences that are popping up, or are the kind of things you're finding out that spark those young college students that you have these entrepreneurial experiences right in their undergraduate degree, vis-a-vis maybe returning students that are touching the Goldman Sachs program?
All kinds. Yeah. I mean, you were right when you said about people at different stages in their life getting older, thinking, what now, what next? Yeah, and it's interesting because when we look around the world, we go, how different is it? You have to think so differently. And in reality, we've studied dozens instead of tons of programs. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is, no matter your age, gender, race, ethnicity, religion, geographic location, to grow a business, to start and grow a business, there are X things you have to do. Now, you're going to do them differently, depending on all those different variables I just mentioned. You're going to do them differently. You're going to want different outcomes. You're going to involve yourself in different ways. But there's just, there's kind of X things that you've got to do to get it done.
Well, I tell you, this whole subject is intriguing to me. I'll be 55 shortly, I will admit. My father retired at 53 from a wonderful ride at one of the largest corporations in the world at the time. And the next day, he started passing out his business cards for his own business. That was kind of a tangential spinoff. He's now 85, still in business. Mm-hmm. So I say to myself, on one hand, you mean I'm only halfway done with this? Because I know I've gotten the gene pool. But on the flip side, hearing the energy from someone like you, Patty, and the type of research that these various centers are involved in, there's no reason to think that any of us should stop, and that the opportunity to, as you say, save people, profit, and planet, whatever venue it is you choose, and whether it's full-time or part-time avocation, it's all there for the taking, isn't it?
I think so.
You bet.
I think so.
Well, very good. Well, Dr. Patricia Green from Babson College, also the initiative leader for Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Project, amongst other things, thanks so much for a special segment, Growing Your Business. We're finally starting to get the story right. We'll keep track, Patty. Thanks a lot.
It was a pleasure, Zara. Take care.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.